Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
We get a lot of questions that don't end up getting answered for one reason or the other.
That's true.
Some just don't warrant an entire episode.
That's right, yeah.
Others are very similar to other questions we've already answered. So today, we're going to deal with some of those questions. The questions that are easily answered, we'll answer. And the questions that are similar to others we've already answered, we'll point you to those other episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want people to think that we're just ignoring questions that we don't like. We get a lot of questions. And I don't know that we'll ever be able to answer all of them. But I'm fearful that if we don't address most of them in some way, that people just stop at asking questions, and this ministry runs on questions. So we need them to keep coming in if the ministry is going to continue. So if you've asked a question and we haven't answered it, please don't give up. Keep asking questions. But this is going to be what we're going to call our first lightning round. Mm-hmm. We're going to deal with several questions, and we may have other lightning rounds in the future. But we're kind of in a sense cleaning out our inbox.
Yeah, yeah.
And dealing with several very quickly.
You know, I think our listeners should choose one day out of the month, not a whole day, but maybe like 30 minutes, where they sit and they just think of questions with their family.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's a great idea.
One day out of the month, sit and brainstorm with your family.
Over dinner, what are some issues that we've had over the last week, month, that it would be helpful to get some counsel on?
And just send them in. They may end up in my junk mail, but I now know to check my junk mail.
Right.
Because I found one in there.
Yeah.
So maybe this is one that we're answering that was in the junk mail. So that's another reason.
Absolutely. Great idea.
First question. If a Christian woman is in a play and the script calls for her character to kiss another character, should she refuse because the man she is kissing is not her husband? Or is it okay because it's just play and means nothing?
No, it's not okay. You're still kissing somebody who isn't your spouse. There's no biblical exemption for pretend relationships. This reminds me of an interview that I saw with Michael Douglas like forever ago. He was telling a story about when his kids were little, and they, for some reason unbeknownst to me, he let them watch one of his R-rated movies. Anyway, so his kids see him in this love scene. And one of the kids says, you know, why were you in that love scene with that woman who isn't our mom? And he said, well, you know, it's just acting. And the kid said, yes, but you were really naked and you were really kissing her.
The kid gets it.
The kid gets it. The kid gets it. And then Michael Douglas got it because his point was, yeah, it's acting, but you're actually really doing it. So I would say, you may be pretending, but you're really kissing that person, and no, it's not okay.
Yeah. All right, another question. I appreciated your teaching to married people about how to deal with sexual temptation in the workplace, neighborhood, etc. One, delve into scripture. Two, do whatever it takes to flee temptation. Three, pursue righteousness with others. Four, cultivate intimacy with your spouse. I am wondering how to specifically encourage single adults in the same regard. How does the single person flee temptation and pursue righteousness? How does the effort look the same relationally? How does it look different?
This question may be a response to an old episode. This was episode 4, I believe. The answer, very quickly, is that fleeing temptation and pursuing righteousness for the single person looks the same as it does for a married person, with the opposite exception of pursuing intimacy with the spouse. So much of what was said in episode 4 would be helpful to the single person. I would add, though, a scripture reference from 1 Corinthians 7:32 and following. I'm not going to read that passage, but you can look it up. That's 1 Corinthians 7:32 and following, which assumes that the norm for a single Christian is to be concerned primarily with serving and pleasing the Lord. A married person also must serve and please a spouse. So a single person who wants to deal well with sexual temptation should just wear himself or herself out serving the Lord. And I've known a host of singles who've done that. They've remained pure. The ones who tend to get into trouble are those who don't give themselves and their free time over to serving the Lord.
Yeah, that's a good point. Free time is dangerous sometimes.
Absolutely.
Boredom.
It is.
Dangerous. Yeah. We have an episode on boredom.
Episode on boredom.
It's the only one I did.
I don't remember off the top of my head the number, but just search boredom on the Truth and Circumstances website.
All right. A good friend of mine is a lesbian and getting married. Should I or should I not attend the wedding? If not, how do I make my morals clear while not breaking the friendship? I still want to be a witness in her life.
Yeah, this is a great question, and it's not that we don't want to answer it, but we've kind of answered it already. We've answered a couple of questions that are very similar. One episode was episode 90, and that question was, my niece is getting confirmed in the Catholic Church. How should I handle that situation? And I believe that in that episode, we talked about whether or not we would go to a homosexual wedding and why. We also did a series of episodes in episodes 71 through 73, which addressed the question, how should I deal with fellow believers, even family members, who have decided that homosexuality is not a sin? Those episodes have a lot of information about how to share your convictions without losing a relationship. Now, my short answer to this question is, I don't believe you should go to that wedding. Going to the wedding validates it. Attending a wedding implies a celebration of that union, which we can't do because homosexuality is an abomination to God. That is the uniform testimony of Scripture. I would simply ask to have coffee with that friend and explain yourself, first expressing your love, but then your conviction. And episodes 71 through 73 and then episode 90 may help you to know how to approach that conversation and may also add some content to that conversation.
All right. If a wife has tried to ask her husband to help around the house with things like taking the trash out, picking up his clothes, and putting his dishes in the dishwasher, but he will not continue to do it after the initial few days, should she let it go and continue to pray for him or press the matter further?
I have to admit that when I get questions like this, my knee jerk is to say, just give me his phone number and I'll talk to him, slap him around a little bit. But I can't do that. So this is very similar to several questions that we've dealt with that each have this underlying question. How do I get somebody to do something that I want them to do? Or how do I change my spouse? So here are several episodes in which we have addressed that underlying issue. We've got episodes 2 and 3, which both address the question, how can I get my husband to lead me? There's episode 31, how can I encourage my husband to reach out to other men for help and encouragement? Episode 34, and this was a question from a wife, how would you counsel a God-fearing father and husband in his search for work-life balance? Episode 74, I have serious concerns about my husband's relationship with the Lord. What should I do? Episode 80, my husband and I disagree about how much we should save every month. What should I do? Each of those episodes, all of those episodes are going to contain some principles necessary to deal with this issue of a husband who won't help around the house. So I would point you to those episodes.
What are some biblical strategies for determining whether someone is seeking counsel or just gossiping? Is there a good way to stop or redirect a conversation where someone is gossiping to you?
This is a really good question.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful question. It's just that I don't believe that the answer requires a whole episode because it's relatively simple to answer. Gossip has more to do with motive than content. Let me explain that. I can talk about the sin of person A to person B for the good of person A. Actually, let me just use names here. I could talk about Jason's sin to you, Kyle, for Jason's good, that is for the purpose of bringing Jason to repentance or reconciliation, and that would not be gossip. But I could give you that same information, Kyle, information about Jason's sin for the motive of damaging Jason's reputation in your mind, and that would be gossip. Hmm. So determining whether a person is gossiping is largely about determining their motive, and that's not impossible. It's just difficult to do if you're not asking direct questions. So if the speaker is offering no indication that they want to help the person that they're talking about, or if they're not asking counsel or help with the situation, it's easier to categorize the sharing of information as gossip or not gossip if you'll just ask a question. So ask a question. And you could do this without sounding like you're accusing them of gossip. So, like, if a conversation sounds like it's going in a direction of divulging sensitive information, you could say something like, Could we stop here for a minute? I don't want to make any assumptions. Are you asking me for help with this situation? Are you asking me for counsel? If so, how are we going to benefit this other person? Would you like to meet with them? What are we going to do here? That will almost certainly stop that person in their tracks if their motive was ungodly. Or that person will almost certainly then make it clear, oh, no, my intention is to help that person, and here's what I want to do. There's really not much you're going to need to do after that to steer the conversation in a godly direction. And I say that with great confidence because I've seen it a bunch.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, Jason's in the room.
Yeah, Jason's in the room, right. And he's nodding. He's nodding vigorously. Yes. He agrees with what
we were not
saying.
Gossiping about him.
Right. We're talking about him in front of his face.
Yes. All right. In the Holocaust, when a Christian hit a Jew to protect them, was it a sin for them to lie to the authorities when asked if they were hiding a Jew?
Now, there are going to be people who disagree about this, okay? So this is just my opinion, all right? And my answer is, yes, it was a sin to lie. It's always a sin to lie. There are going to be people who will appeal to Rahab and Joshua or the Hebrew midwives in Exodus, and they'll point out that, look, Rahab lied in order to hide the spies, and the Hebrew midwives lied in order to save the little boys of the Hebrew people. However, if we read those texts carefully, Rahab and the Hebrew midwives were not commended for lying. We have to read into the text in order to find justification for lying. Now, I'm certainly not condemning Christians who saved Jews in the Holocaust. Praise God that they did that. I just can't condone lying. If I were in that situation, I would want to find some way to always speak truthfully while preserving life. And I am happy to admit that that's easier said than done, but that's my answer.
All right. If something like the Holocaust were to happen in America, would it be okay for Christians to defend themselves, specifically referring to taking out a gun and shooting if someone attacks you or tries to drag you from your house?
This one was addressed in our 100th episode, or something very similar to it, in our 100th episode, which Pastor John answered for us. And the specific question on that episode was, is there a biblical doctrine of just war? So I would point you to episode 100 for that one. Let's do one more.
All right, here's the last one. I have a friend I'm witnessing to that's a flat earther. If they were to become a believer, is that a view I'd need to address and correct with them?
No. We may find it silly, but it's not a matter of orthodoxy. There are far more important things to educate a new believer in, and so I would just trust the Lord to correct a host of wrong thinking as a person grows in the knowledge of the Lord. That would not be on my list of things to address. Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of questions.
It was. And we've got others to do. I just didn't want to take an hour.
So hopefully we'll get some good feedback about this.
And, yeah.
Because I think, you know, we don't want people to not ask questions that maybe even they feel like won't get a long answer, because it may be that it has a short answer and you'll get it in something like this. So, yeah, like we said earlier, please continue to ask your questions.
And let me say this. There were some that, as I was going through looking for lightning round questions, that I thought, oh, this is going to be an obvious lightning round question. But then as I was thinking about it, I thought, no, this actually needs a full episode.
Yeah, that's good.
So keep asking your questions and let us decide whether it's a lightning round question or not.
Right, okay? Right. Yeah. Well, until next time, Greg.
All right, see ya.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.